The first lesson for today is the 107th Psalm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let him thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in gloom, prisoners in misery and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Their hearts were bowed down with hard labor. They fell down with no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and gloom and broke their bonds asunder. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their inequities endured affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. And let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices, and tell of his deeds with songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the mighty wet waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths, their courage melted away in their calamity. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wit's end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into salty waste because of the wickedness of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry live, and they establish a town to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy of distress and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness stops its mouth. Let those who are wise give heed to these things and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. The second lesson for today is from the sixth chapter of Romans. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died from Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, will you pray with me?
Gracious and loving God, may your word find a place in our minds and a home in our hearts. Amen. So there was a pastor who was leading a worship service on a day much like today, a day right after we change off of daylight savings. And he thanked everyone for showing up and, as he called it, for those who are late to church habitually, the time when you set your clock back 45 minutes. I told you they weren't all good jokes. I just like jokes. Today in the church, it is our duty and honor to observe All Saints Day. All Saints Day is an interesting time in the life of the church because it comes with a variety of paradoxes. I think sometimes I live that paradox out in my own life as well. I'm a saint. Did you know that? I'm a saint. It's not in my bio. I forgot to put it in there. But no, I am a saint. Maybe you couldn't tell. My halo is a little crooked today. Tarnished, maybe. I told you we weren't going to talk about Saturday night. I'll try to buff it up. But indeed, no, we are saints. We are all saints. This is the theology that we have been handed down throughout the ages in our history and heritage and Reformation. We and all who have gone before us, we who are beloved by God, we, the church, are saints. Well, my goodness, that's a lot to live up to. That's a hard one, I gotta say. So I thought I'd take a little time this morning while I was preparing my sermon for All Saints Day and figure out exactly what it means to be a saint of the church today. And to do that, I had to go back a little bit and do some history. Luckily, I didn't have to go too far because a wonderful pastor named Edward Marquardt, who's a Lutheran pastor in Seattle, did a lot of the research for me. So I'm going to rely on some of his texts. But let's see if we can work together a little bit to understand exactly what it means to be a saint of the church today. Pastor Marquardt, he says, what is a saint? He said, well, in the first 300 years or so of the church's history, a saint was someone who was a martyr. They were a person who were killed for their belief in Christ. Martyrs of the church. Saint Ignatius said that the blood of the martyrs were the seeds of the church. But to qualify for sainthood in these early days, these first 300 years, you had to be killed. Christians were killed by lions, or they were burned at the stake in the Colosseum in Rome. And that is the one and only way that you became a saint. It makes me happy that it's 2017. I can still be a saint. Then Pastor Marquardt said things changed around the year 313. In 313, Constantine, the emperor of all of Rome, made it legal that everybody could be Christian. And it wasn't that Constantine was so necessarily religious that himself, he didn't get baptized until he was on his deathbed. But he was a smart emperor. And he was using Christianity to be the glue that held his empire together. So what was a saint during Constantine's Christianity? It was a time of the power of the Roman Catholic Church. And the church canonized saints. These were famous people. If you had a pack of trading cards back in Constantine's Christianity days, you would have these people in your trading cards. These are the saints. The church built a chapel in honor of a saint. And you would go to the chapel and you would light votives and pray to that saint. And praying to the saints that you would hope would intercede with God on your behalf. It was very, very important to have a relationship with the saints, patron saints, in medieval Roman Catholic religion. And for 1,300 years following, people prayed to the saints. These saints would have rather intimate conversations with God up there in heaven, it was presumed. These saints had God's ear, so to speak. The saints were with God up in heaven, and we were down here on earth. For 1,300 years, the saints were basically dead religious heroes who were up in heaven, close to the ear of God. And then came the Reformation, which we celebrated last Sunday. Aha, 500-year anniversary. Martin Luther and all the other reformers, they didn't like the idea of praying to and through the saints. You don't have to get a saint to pray for you, they thought. You can pray to God directly. So during the Reformation, the meaning of saints changes. The saints then began to refer to our Christian loved ones who had died, people who had gone before us to be with God. Saints referred to our family members who died, fathers, mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, brothers and sisters, and friends. These people, they became saints. And then about 100 years ago or so, things changed again. And they started making lists of people who died the past year, and they published those names in church bulletins. And those people get to be remembered by their church once a year, and that became All Saints Day. Other people have a further definition of a saint. I consider my daughter a saint because she puts up with me. I gotta give her credit. Some people think that saints are just a football team in New Orleans. Maybe. So with all that history and that great milieu of sainthood, what does it actually mean to be a saint? Well, 2,000 years or so of history defining the definition of saints. But there's a Bible verse that really points to what it means to contain the mark of sainthood. If we want to understand the mind of God and the morals of God, we need to understand what the Bible says. The word is not singular. The word in the Bible is never singular. In Greek, the word for saint is hagios. If you ever heard of the famous building in Istanbul, Turkey, Hagia Sophia, Hagios, St. Sophia's Church. Hagio is always plural in Greek. It's a plural noun that's used for saints. So the Bible does not use, nor does the Bible have, a concept of individual saints like St. John, St. Mark, St. Luke, St. whoever. It's never singular. It's for all the saints. All of us. And that word, hagio, it means God's holy ones. We are God's holy people. We are here. We are living in the here and the now, just like our ancestors were, just like our friends who have gone before us may have been. But we're here, and we're God's beloved. And that's about the only criteria you need to be a saint. And thank God for that. I love Psalm 107. Psalm 107 that starts out, "Praise God and give thanks, for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever." And oftentimes when we read that psalm in church, we kind of stop right there. Because that's a good line. It's a famous line. But if you continue, like I asked Jen to do, a marvelous job, by the way, if you continue to read that psalm, you'll see people who are in a bit of distress. It's not always an easy time when you're here and now and living on earth. So when you think about what it means to be a saint and am I living up to my sainthood, it's important to go back to psalms like Psalm 107. And you read about the people who wandered the desert, the people who wandered the wastes, who were hungry and thirsty, the people who sat in darkness and gloom, the prisoners who were chained up in their misery and sometimes literal irons. Those who've been sick in body and mind and soul sick even with sadness. Those who like went and did the business, their business on the water, fishermen and tradesmen, and were completely overwhelmed by the rage of the world. All of these too were saints. So when I sit back and I think about it, I have to think, I've been there too. As have probably most of us, if not all of us. And I say, these people, these were the holy ones too. We have it evidenced there in Psalm 107 that they were there with God and God intervened. And if I am sitting there thinking that I am wandering through a desert waste, or if I am bound in chains by sadness, I have to remember that I am also God's holy one and God has not abandoned me. Let those who are wise give heed. Let those who are wise give heed to these things and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. I like this stole. I like it a lot. This stole was a gift from my previous congregation, which was the United Church of Christ. And the United Church of Christ, I served with them for about 7-8 years or so. And the United Church of Christ adopted a slogan that was made famous by Gracie Allen. And the line is, never place a period where God has placed a comma. Commas. And the takeaway from that is God is still speaking. So when we find ourselves in moments of turmoil and difficulty, it's helpful to remember that God is still speaking. And when we couldn't possibly dream that we would ever qualify to be a saint, I say it's okay to dream. I say it's okay to dream and think about what our lives as saints mean and how meaningful it can be to others. There's a really famous children's message that goes along with All Saints Day. And usually it would be, you know, kids down here on the chancel steps. And I would say, look around you at the beautiful windows. Look at them. They're gorgeous. You see? Beautiful windows that tell stories and picture. They set a mood, create a pattern. But how much less would that be if the light didn't shine through? They'd be dark. We'd be missing them. We wouldn't have the same pictures that we do. A good definition for a saint can be a person who allows the light to shine through. And we may all have different pictures on us. We may all shine out with different colors. But as long as we allow that light in, there's a possibility. So when I get all down and I think probably I can't dream I'm a good saint today, it helps me to remember that if I'm just willing to let that light shine in, I can be a beautiful stained glass window too. Dream with me also on this Communion Sunday that while God is still speaking, God is taking away the things that divide us. God is taking away the horrors of separation and sin, even the horrors of death. The Apostle Paul reminded us in Romans that we are baptized into Christ. And if we are baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. But if we are baptized into his death, we're baptized into his resurrection too. And because of that, we can dream a world where we can live out our sainthood together. Because of that, because he has defeated that death, we can turn to this table today and see it as a table of transformation. Do you remember what this table first was, by the way? Not this particular table, but the meal that we celebrate. Do we remember what that was?
The Last Supper. Yeah, somebody said it. The Last Supper.
That was the last time Jesus sat down with his disciples before the crucifixion. The last time he sat down with his disciples and had a meal of fellowship together with them. And what happened at the Last Supper? I know what you did last supper. No, that doesn't make sense. Well, what happened? He was betrayed. It was not a nice thing. This table, for a while, was a table of betrayal. And yet we celebrate it today as a table of transformation. We celebrate it today as a table of hope. Because the things that came, the things that were to come following that meal of betrayal, were the things that changed the world. Sin was defeated. Death was defeated. And by the Holy Spirit, when we celebrate this table today, we are lifted up to meet the saints in heaven and to join them with the saints on earth. This is a day of celebration. This is a day of transformation. This is a day to dream what it would be like to live our sainthood every day by just saying yes to God and allowing that light to come through. Dream with me today. Dream of open hearts and open minds. Dream of a world where there is no separation between life and death, sin and saved, where there's no difference between sinner and saint, because we're all there too. I ask that you keep that in mind today as we go through our service. Keep it in mind as we go through our communion. And I'd also ask you to hold close to your hearts the people who have gone before you, the people that you might be remembering today as you celebrate All Saints. And remember the things that are illusions, the separations that are now gone, instead replaced by God's steadfast love, which endures forever. Amen.